the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Roundtable Podcast. We just keep getting questions.
This is awesome. All that pressure you put on it paying off.
All that guilt. You guys are just using and abusing us, and you're not contributing. But yeah, we have another question that came in. We had this great idea to look at some just tough, nasty passages of scripture, and now we don't have to.
For a while, anyways.
So basically, what I'll do is just read the question, and then we'll just talk about it. And this is your forewarning. This is a doozy of a question, and one that we actually, well, we always put a lot of effort into the podcast.
Yeah, let me preface that.
We just click record and wing it.
This one we actually studied.
This one we actually cared about. I'm just kidding. But I'll say this question was more work, I would say, more digging, because it was one that's come up several times in the last, I don't know, several months, and just confusion about it. And so we actually, you know, did a lot of digging this week.
Before you even actually read the question, do you remember when you were being interviewed here, our first congregational meeting, that question came up?
It did. I do. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting that even right in the beginning there people were, what do you think about
prophets? And almost four. Oh, you said the P word. Almost 4 years ago, yeah, when we candidated, that the congregational meeting, someone asked that because I had preached – And I'd said something in my sermon in like a passing, we don't need prophets anymore, something like that. And so that this person, I don't remember who it was, got up and said, once you said that, I didn't hear anything else you said. And I was like, oh, well, that's good. So if you've guessed, we're talking about prophecy today. And so let me read the question. So it says, since we've been given the Holy Spirit and the Word, meaning the Bible, there doesn't seem to be a need for prophets anymore. But in Acts 11:27-30, it talks about prophets coming down and foretelling by the Spirit. Then in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, Paul lists prophecy as a gift of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 14:1-5, he says that we should earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially so we may prophesy. So then this person says, today it seems like we scoff at prophecy in the more traditional church settings. I know I'm super skeptical when someone says they have a word, in quotations, from God. But clearly Paul says that prophecy is a gift given by the Spirit. So what does the gift of prophecy look like today? Are people with that gift considered prophets? And why don't we see this gift used more or even at all in traditional church settings? Hopefully you have a couple hours.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I mean, it's a fair question, and you can lean one way or the other on this, but this person is right. The Bible, the New Testament, talks a lot about prophecy in the book of Acts. There's lots of mention of prophets. Really, the guy that gets named the most is Agabus, and it's twice. And we'll maybe look at those passages, but he was a prophet. And then throughout the letters that Paul writes, really in 1 Corinthians that this person mentioned, Paul lists prophecy as a gift. Yeah. And he does say, and we'll read those passages, pursue these gifts. I wish that you would all prophesy, pursue prophecy. So you go, okay, we can't just ignore it and say, well, it's not a thing. So what those three gifts at the end, or there's three questions at the end, rather, what does the gift of prophecy look like today? Are people with that gift considered prophets? Why don't we see this gift used more or even at all in traditional church settings? Are we considered a traditional church?
Or maybe conservative? I don't know.
Lame? Is that another word for that? The non-hip churches.
It's the word. It's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Pull out your Bibles, nothing else. So, Don, why don't you start? Is there a difference between, Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and this gift or New Testament prophecy?
I would say there's a difference. I mean, in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke the word of God, and it's recorded as scripture, whereas I think in the New Testament, the apostles took over that role of proclaiming and writing down scripture, and prophet, I think, looks different in the New Testament. Hmm. And yeah, I mean, we'll look at that, but I think there is a difference.
Yeah,
between even the example of Agabus, he predicted some things, but he never said, you know, this is scripture, this is from the Lord as scripture. Yeah. It was just revealing something the Holy Spirit showed him.
Yeah.
So I think there was a difference between Old Testament prophets and those that were considered prophets in the New Testament.
Yeah, I agree. I think in the Old Testament, this office, if you want to call it, you know, you had the office or role of priest, you had the office or role of prophet, you had the office or role of king. We don't have priests anymore. I should clarify that. The Catholic Church has priests. We don't have priests as in, like, you're now, this priest is the mediator between me and God who offers sacrifices. We don't have that anymore because Jesus fulfilled that office, that role. We don't have kings in the same sense as the Old Testament. Like, we're not, Christianity is not a monarchy. Like, Jesus, I guess I should say it is a monarchy. Jesus is the king. He fulfilled that role. And then I would say, yeah, in the Old Testament, the role of prophet is exactly what you said. Like, they stood up and they spoke on behalf of God. That's why a lot of thus saith the Lord. and Jesus, we know, fulfilled the role or office of prophet. Hebrews 1 clearly says that, you know, it long ago and in many ways God spoke to us, but now he's spoken to us through his son. So I would say that role or office of prophet would be done. It's fulfilled now. But like what you said, this New Testament version, if you want to call it that, you go, what is the deal with that? Even like in the Old Testament, though, in Deuteronomy 13, it talks about testing prophets as well, because some have said, well, you know, in the Old Testament, no one tested the prophets, but in the New Testament, we're supposed to. But that's actually not true. In Deuteronomy 13, it says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and hold fast to his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. So even let's say a guy like Isaiah stood up and did a sign or a wonder, but then he said, hey, let's go serve Baal. That would apply to him. Mm-hmm. He would say that's not a prophet from God. So you still had, the people of Israel still had discernment, and they said, even like, I like that Moses writes that down. Even if he does signs and wonders, wow, I can't believe he could do it. How did he know that? And yet he's leading you away from God. They said, false prophet, kill him.
That's why often the prophets would say, you know, they would say, this is what the Lord says. And then they would say, mark my words. So they were saying, this is going to happen. You'll know that I'm an authentic prophet.
Yep.
If it doesn't happen, you know, this is not from God. But they always say, mark my words, like pay attention. And when this happens, you'll know the Lord has spoken. And I was just his spokesperson.
Yeah. Yeah, because even Moses was called a prophet, and he did those fantastic signs. Well, it was God using him, and those were signs to confirm, okay, this guy is, this is the prophet from God. And then you get to the book of Acts, and there seems to be, and this is where we might disagree here, Don, which is fine, but I think in the early church, there seemed to be this role of prophet, that they called them prophets. Like it says, now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine. This is Acts 11. Over all the world, this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And then in Acts 21, this same prophet, and he's called a prophet, Agabus. Yeah, it says, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. This is chapter 21. Coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit." So that's pretty similar to Old Testament prophets. "Thus saith the Lord." He says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit. This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem." So in my opinion, there seems to be in this the early church, in the starting of this early church, that there was still a role of prophet. Because even Ephesians says in Ephesians chapter 2, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." So there seems to be that, you know, Agabus, that guy's a prophet for sure. And there seem to be others in the early church. Mm-hmm. He's a prophet. But I find it really interesting that as Paul plants churches and he writes letters to churches, he doesn't say, "Okay, in every church, I want you to appoint an official mm-hmm. prophet of that church." He says, "Appoint elders as yeah. these leadership of the church." So it almost seems to me that the early church got started and there was this foundational period where the apostles were writing the New Testament and the prophets were, and I don't know how they were involved in the leadership of that, but they were involved. And it's almost as if as Paul planted more churches and as they had what we have as the Bible, it was like, "Well, now I want you to appoint elders who are going to lead the church." Now, so I think that that role of, like, we don't have, "Oh, Don's the North Peace Enemy Church prophet." We just don't have that anymore.
I think I agree with you there, Andrew. Like, there were prophets, and there's this transition when the Holy Spirit is given and the start of the church. Yep. There wasn't the scriptures to go through.
Yeah.
And I don't think the prophets that are mentioned don't even, I don't think they're even part of recording or
no.
Having a place in scripture. I think that was the apostles.
Yeah.
But the apostles were there to assist them and give direction and even give insight to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there's even before that one you read there in Acts where Agabus predicted what was going to happen to Paul, right before that, it says that Philip's daughter,
yeah.
four daughters were all prophets.
Yeah.
And so, and Silas is also considered a prophet.
Yeah.
But it never really says what he does. He's a proclaimer of the gospel with Paul.
Yeah.
So I think you're right there. Like the work of a prophet was to assist the early church in this new thing that was happening
mm-hmm.
where they couldn't go to scripture.
Yeah, because even the word prophecy means to speak forth. And so that's what they were doing. These prophets were given a word from God, like Agabus. He gets this word from the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a famine, and so he speaks that forth. Mm-hmm. And then Agabus, this in 21, he gets this, whatever it was. We're not yeah. really told, a dream, a vision, something that said Paul's going to be bound and dragged away. And we know later on that happened, mm-hmm. that Paul was bound and dragged away. And some people are like, "Well, Agabus said it was with his belt," but I'm like, okay, you're getting way into the semantics here. So I think that even for the church today, so I've said it in a few sermons that some people went like, I don't know if I agree. Like if someone came up to me and said, "I am a prophet," I would say, "No, you're not." Now, let's talk about the gift of prophecy, because someone might say, "I have the gift of prophecy," and I would go, "Okay, let's talk." Mm-hmm. But anytime like someone says, "I am the Lord's prophet," I go, "No, I don't think there are capital P prophets mm-hmm. today." Just like I would say there aren't apostles today, because
yeah.
Ephesians seems to suggest that those two offices or roles were super crucial to the foundation mm-hmm. of the church, and we don't need those roles anymore. Because even some in Ephesians 4:11 say, well, it says God gave the church apostles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And I said, totally, God, totally. But it doesn't say that he gave them for all time. Mm-hmm. We still have the apostles in our church today through the word. Mm-hmm. And I would say, and prophets. So then we get into, okay, well, what's the difference here then? Okay, so if we're saying that the role of prophet doesn't exist, then what does the gift of prophecy look like? And I would say one of the issues, and you got to hear me, like, I've been convicted lately because I'm one who swings the other way, who goes, that is such a silly thing. Like, we have the Bible. We don't need that kind of stuff. So, like, I'm working through that already. Like, God's saying, maybe you need to repent of that. But I'll tell you why I think lots of people in, you know, quote unquote, traditional church settings scoff at that gift, prophecy, or we laugh at it, is because I think we've seen it so, so abused and misused that, you know, we often talk about this pendulum that those in Pentecostal charismatic circles maybe have swung the pendulum way too far. So then us in fuddy-duddy churches, we then in response go, well, fine, we're going to swing all the way up. No prophecy allowed. Because, like, so I'll give you an example. Like Bethel Church, we've used them lots. They would be ones that swung so far. Like, they have a resident prophet in their church, Chris Vallotton. Bill Johnson is their resident apostle, and Chris Vallotton is their resident prophet. So they would say that the role of prophet exists today. And yet when I hear them talk about prophecy, you know, we hear lots of things like, we're just going to release this spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. Hey, everyone in our church right now at the same time, let's all prophesy over each other. And then I've watched some videos of Bill Johnson explain prophecy. He said, you know, we sit in a circle, and whatever you think Jesus would say if he walked into the room, say that out loud. That's prophecy. And I go, I think biblically you're not understanding what prophecy is. It's not just, well, whatever comes into my mind, I'm just going to prophesy over you. So that's why I think lots of times churches, swing so far the other way, and we're like, forget that nonsense. Yeah.
Enough to worry about it.
And we do that with tongues. Tongues, we might have to do another podcast later on, but I've been to events where let's all speak in tongues at the same time, and we're going to roll on the floor, and there's no interpretation. And so then I am an individual who swings so far the other way. That's just nonsense. But maybe we'll save that for a different one. So, Don, I don't know, in your mind, biblically, when you look at this gift of prophecy, we would be in agreement saying it's not a role of, you know, capital P, this is the resident prophet. But how does the gift of prophecy work for the church today? Because we both agree that it is a gift for today.
Yeah, I think the Holy Spirit was given and gifts were given to the church. The scriptures are given to us, but now through the Holy Spirit, there is this gift of prophecy. So I'm actually just going to read a definition here that was helpful for me, so I'm just going to read it. Mm-hmm. Spiritual gift of prophecy is an extraordinary and unique gift. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, to pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. This gift is a blessing to the church and should not be quenched or despised, like we talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Those who have the gift of prophecy differ from the Old Testament prophets who spoke the authoritative word of God directly. Their words were recorded as scripture as they proclaimed, "Thus says the Lord." Whereas the messages from those with the spiritual gift of prophecy must be tested. In the New Testament, the apostles, not the prophets, took over the role of scriptural proclamation from the Old Testament prophets. The Greek word for the gift of prophecy is prophetia, which is the ability to receive a divinely inspired message and deliver it to others in the church. These messages can take the form of exhortation, correction, disclosure of secret sins, mm-hmm. prediction of future events, comfort, inspiration, or other revelations given, and here's the key, to equip and edify the body of Christ.
Yep.
And we'll maybe look at that in 1 Corinthians. Again, they do not constitute the authoritative word of God, but are the human interpretation of the revelation that was received.
Yeah.
They are spoken in human words through a human mind, which is why they must be tested against the scriptures. which is what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't scoff at prophecy, but test them all and hold on to the good.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit gives the gift of prophecy to some believers to make God's heart known and to edify the church. This gift is for the benefit of both believers and unbelievers and is a sign that God is truly among his church.
Yep.
Those with this gift are sensitive to both the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the needs of the church body. They should be humble and continually study the scriptures in order to test these revelations before speaking them. When they do speak, they should allow and even expect others to weigh what is said against the scriptures and interpret the message accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, the church may be continually built up and together in unity.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a really helpful explanation of the gift of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not the norm. I think Holy Spirit gives some people the gift of prophecy or even a one-shot gift of prophecy to edify the church. And the word of God is already fulfilled and it's all we need. But at times the Holy Spirit will use the gift of prophecy to edify somebody or alert somebody to something. So I found that definition helpful. And like they said, it's not like the Old Testament where there's this authoritative word of God, where this is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives. And one person explained it too. It's like the gift of teaching. I may say I have the gift of teaching. That wouldn't stop Andrew from saying, well, I'm still going to evaluate what you're teaching against the scriptures.
Yep.
And that's the same with the gift of prophecy. I might say I have the gift of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say will be evaluated against scriptures. So the scriptures are still the standard.
Yep.
So anybody that would say some prophecy that goes against the scriptures, we would already say, okay, that's false.
Yeah.
Because there is no addition to the scriptures. So if it goes a new word, like we sometimes say, and it goes against the scripture, then we already know that did not come from the Holy Spirit.
Totally.
So,
yeah, and I would agree with that definition, that there seems to be, you know, this gift where the Holy Spirit brings things to people's mind that they wouldn't know otherwise. But I like what you said, because even Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And then he says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So with all of the spiritual gifts, the whole point of every spiritual gift is that it would build up and edify the church. And so, you know, we see abuses of prophecy, but you can abuse any spiritual gift. And we've joked, like, you can abuse the gift of administration and take advantage of that and be really smart with money, and you could be using that for your own selfish gain. So just because spiritual gifts are abused doesn't mean that we just say that they don't exist then. It's that we got to use more wisdom and more discernment to kind of, weigh what we're hearing. So I'll tell you, honestly, no one has ever prophesied over me. No one has ever said, hey, Andrew, I have a word for you. And that's fine. So, because I think lots of times we like to chase after those things, which is why this whole movement is so scary, because, and I'll be careful, but from my outside opinion, they downplay the word of God and they raise up, let's all just seek fresh words and prophecies for each other. And I would say the word of God trumps prophecies every time. Like, we have it right here. This is the complete revelation of God. So it's not as if prophecy reveals new truths about God. We have that already. But I've just seen it where it's like, let's have prophetic conferences and we're going to have everybody try and prophesy. And even some in these Bethel circles have then created like Christian tarot cards where we're going to reveal prophecies through these tarot cards. And it's just like, that's taking a good spiritual gift and making it an idol, in my opinion. And you're worshiping this gift of prophecy, which we're never commanded to do. Like, we're told that it's for building up and encouraging and consoling one another and edifying the church. So that's the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. But even I like, you know, Spurgeon, it's interesting. Spurgeon didn't believe in the gift of prophecy, but like you read his biography, and I think he was just trying to keep his cessationist, which means cessationist means some people think those gifts have ceased, but he would often prophesy. Mm. And you read stories, he would preach and he would point at people and say, like, you stole your mother's gloves this morning. That's an example.
Wow.
And the guy would come and say, like, you're right, I confess that sin. But he said, well, that's not prophecy. So I'm like, come on, Spurgeon, man. You like, but it was for the edifying of the church. He would say, someone here is not being honest with their business or whatever, because he had that word from the Holy Spirit when he was preaching that God would tell him, you know, someone in your congregation has been stealing at work. And he would say that. And like, that's, in my mind, that's prophecy, because it's building up the church and it's exposing sin. So as far as like, for me, there's been a few times it's really interesting when I'm preaching, because I think there's something prophetic about preaching as well, because there's been times when I have preached and as I'm preaching, you know, I have my notes, but you know, the Holy Spirit will, you got to say this or whatever it is. And I can't think of a concrete example, but like, use this illustration. And afterwards someone will be like, were you listening in on my phone calls this week? Like, you said exactly what I did this week. So I go, is that prophecy? Like, maybe to a certain extent. And yet it's not me saying like, okay, let's conjure up some, everyone prophesy. It's the Holy Spirit does that in these moments to edify the church. And for those moments are really cool when someone goes, man, it was like you were speaking right to me. And I've often said, well, I wasn't, the Holy Spirit was speaking right to you. So, and so, we don't, you know, it's the point of prophecy is to build up the church. And like you mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, you know, don't despise prophecies, which I think a lot of us are guilty of, myself included. And it says, test everything, hold fast to what is good. So we don't just say any and every prophecy that I think I have a word from you, we're like, great, I'll accept anything. Like Paul says, you test all of it, weigh it against what the Bible says. And Spurgeon, he would say, he cautioned people, you know, don't seek that kind of guidance for him, you know, and whatever you say about him, he didn't think they existed anyways, but he said, don't seek that kind of guidance. Now I'm going to structure my whole life around prophetic words that I get. And he said, don't order your life around that. And I think that's the danger, that we have to find this middle ground, right? Because some people are like, oh, I walked outside and then a blue bird flew in front of me and my favorite color is blue. And that was God telling me that he loves me. I'm like, I highly doubt that. I think a blue bird just flew. Like, you know what I mean? But we so do that. Like, I think people can become so hungry for, if I'm not hearing directly from God every day, and if I'm not getting a prophetic word, then God's not real. It's like, God does speak to us every day through his word, but we got to have that balance. So Don, has anyone ever spoke a word of prophecy over you? Have you ever experienced that?
Well, no, I guess I was, you know, talking to you about even just my journey to become a pastor,
right?
Someone didn't necessarily, I have a word of prophecy for you, but when I was feeling the call to this position as pastor, I really sensed God was drawing me to this. Didn't exactly know what that would look like. I asked God, I know you're calling me to, but could I just ask one favor of you? Just by your grace, could you ask one of the leadership, one of the elders, to talk to me about this without them knowing about it? And so after praying about 2.5 months, one of the elders said, Don, I need to talk to you. I've just been having this just really strong impression, I believe is from the Holy Spirit, to ask you that you should be a part of this pastor leadership team. And so he confirmed what I was wrestling with 2.5 months ago. And I think that's prophecy.
Yeah.
That he heard from the Holy Spirit, and he told me what I prayed about without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, he spoke confirmation over a call that I had.
Yeah.
So it did what First Corinthians said, it edified and it clarified
yep.
my call. It wasn't scripture add-on, but I think that was the latest example where I think that was prophecy. The mm-hmm. Holy Spirit spoke to this elder and he said, Don, I think, and I appreciated the way he said it too. He said, Don, I think the Holy Spirit is telling me because
yep.
it doesn't just seem to be a fleeting thing. It's just impressed really heavy and it was confirmed that it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so there was discernment and there was confirmation that, yes, the Holy Spirit is up to something here.
Yeah.
So I think that's a form of prophecy.
Yeah, because I think we have to get over this because there's so much baggage around that word mm-hmm. that we think prophecy and I automatically think, you know, guy coming to me and I'm going to reveal things about your future. Like that's – to me, that's
I don't think so.
That might happen. Hey, I just sense that. You know, in 5 years you're going to be, or whatever. Sure. Like I've heard, you know, there's a pastor guy that I know that someone prophesied that and said, I forget if it was a vision or a dream, but I saw you preaching in front of like 10,000 people. And he was like, okay. And now their church is really big. And it's like, okay, was that a prophecy? Maybe. But I think what you're saying is really key, that like prophecy is to build each other up, encourage each other. And then I think also to bring about sin and help with purifying and edifying the church. So we have to get over this, like, which it's hard because it's so abused. Mm-hmm. Like I see a red car and I'm just like,
I think it's a much more natural as we're pursuing God and following him and looking to the scriptures. I think the Holy Spirit at times stirs people to help out, edify or clarify something. I think half the time or maybe 75% of the time, they don't even recognize. I just prophesied.
Yeah. And I think that's why Paul can say that he wants us to desire gifts, especially that we may prophesy. Mm-hmm. It's not that all of us are supposed to be like, I think because even later on, doesn't he say like that prophets or those who are speaking prophecy, they're totally in control. It's not ecstatic. Is that later on in 14?
It's 14 later on.
Yeah. He says that they're not out of their mind. They're totally in control. I'm just trying to quickly read where that says that.
Verse 29.
Yeah, let two or three prophets speak. Let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that you may all learn and be encouraged. For the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So right away, I think when we hear things like, okay, everyone, let's release the spirit of prophecy. Let's all prophesy at the same time. I'm like, biblically speaking, you're disobeying what Jesus says to do. Paul says, you do it one at a time, two or three, let them speak, you weigh what. So the prophecy is not this out of control, mm-hmm. ecstatic utterance. Prophecy is you are totally in control and God brings something to your mind and you share it and then you all weigh, okay, was that from God? Mm-hmm. Okay, it wasn't. Okay, let's move on. Yeah. So I think, yeah, we have to get past this idea of like, oh my gosh, prophecy, and it's this big mystical thing. I mean, it's very cool that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So then I would say too, like that's why Paul says, let's all pursue it. Because I've said it before from the pulpit, all the spiritual gifts, we should all in some way be operating in them. Mm-hmm. But it's a gift when someone is just not better at it, but it's like, how are you so gifted at that? Like, so the gift of mercy, we're all called as Christians mm-hmm. to be merciful, but with someone who has a gift of mercy, that spiritual, it's like, it's just like a second nature to them. Yeah. They just like, I don't have the gift of hospitality, but I'm still called by Jesus to be hospitable. Right. Mm-hmm. So we can go, I'm not going to have people in my house. I don't have that gift. Well, no, like, but just some people you go, how do you do, you throw such great parties. How do you do that? And you go, oh, they have that special gift of hospitality. So I would say with prophecy, Paul seems to suggest, because he says like earnestly desire it. He said, you know, you all prophesy one by one. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's this like, oh, you're a prophet. I think it's for some people, they just seem to be better at it, or God uses them more often, but all of us should be able to hear the Holy Spirit, right? Like, and be able to say, okay, I think that was from God. I'm going to share that with someone. And it's for all Christians, I think. But some just have that, whatever you call it, that special, I don't want to say anointing because that's so overused, but they have that special, well, it just comes easier to them.
Special gifting. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit says. To some, he gives different gifts, and he says, to the measure it's been given to you, use it to God's glory. So,
So I would say, let's answer these questions. Does the gift of prophecy exist today? We would both say yes, and we've kind of explain what it looks like. Are people with that gift considered prophets? No. I really struggle with that, because I think a lot of times those who then want that title, then you're using it for your own benefit and gain, not for the edification of the church. And Paul nowhere says, you know, in your churches, keep appointing prophets and apostles. He says, no, now the church is run by elders and pastors and deacons. But then why don't we see this gift used more? I think we've kind of explained that there's just so much.
But I think it is being used. And I think maybe one reason is there's this certain definition of what it should look like. Because I think,
That's like a good point.
Said, with when you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you to say something and it ends up edifying or convicting somebody, that was the gift in process.
Yeah,
so I think it is happening, and I know there's tons of examples in this congregation where that kind of encouragement towards each other or conviction has happened. Where I'm supposed to tell you this, it was nothing big and fancy. It was just, I think the Holy Spirit is saying, Holy Spirit actually told me to pray for you. I've had that experience where I've had this heavy impression to pray for somebody, and it lasted for 4 or 5 hours, and it was just wouldn't go away. And after about 4 or 5 hours, all of a sudden it just like peace, there was nothing there. So I called this person. I said, I was just praying for you. Like, I could not get away from praying for you the last 4 or 5 hours. He says, oh, well, thanks. Cause I was going through a very tough decision. I did not know where to go. And just in the last hour, I had peace. I knew what I needed to do. And so that was really neat that God told me to pray for this person. I didn't even know what to pray for. And it turns out he was making a very crucial decision and didn't know which way to go. And all of a sudden it came. It was peace. And so that was cool. So I think it is happening in the traditional churches.
Yeah. But
it's just not the way we see it abused or are, like you said, we have to be careful how we define this or we envision this gift happening.
Yeah. So no, that's a good point. Cause I think when someone says, why aren't we seeing it? It's cause we're comparing it to over exaggerated, over the top abuse of it. And we go, we aren't seeing that here. But you're right. I think Todd's like, I hope not. But we're seeing it, I think, operating in the biblical way. Because even tongues, and I think we should do a podcast on tongues. Because even tongues, like Paul lays out orderly worship, and we're like, oh, that just sounds so boring. Like, but Paul says, like, if you're gonna speak in tongues, one person does it. If there's no interpreter, get rid of it. And we equate tongues with everybody ecstatically just babble on at the same time with no interpretation. So like biblically speaking, you know, the gifts are like, quote unquote, kind of boring. I shouldn't say that. But it's Paul says like operate in a certain way so that it actually builds up and edifies. Yeah. So I didn't even think of that. I don't think it's that we're not seeing it. I think that we are just, our idea of it is clouded by how we're seeing it abused. Cause you're right. I can think of examples now when someone, shared with someone else, and Don's phone is just blowing up here on vibrate. I think the Holy Spirit is working and we're seeing quote unquote prophecy, but it's just not in the way that we envision it, I guess, or are tainted by it. So really quick, I think it'd be good to end. What advice would we give to someone who is like prophesied over. So if someone came up to you and said, I got a word from God for you, what are some pieces of advice we could give to that person?
Well, I mean, 1 Thessalonians says to test it.
Yeah.
I would get another person that you trust to talk about it. And this person who prophesied over you should be willing to let's talk about this and confirm that this lines up with Scripture and that this isn't something that's going off into error, and to test it. And I would say also to kind of see how this person's walk with God is going. Is this a person that is reading the Scriptures and praying and kind of known to be in fellowship with God?
Yeah.
Or is it someone that tends to have maybe a hyper sense of this? Then that's something you got to watch out for too. If it's, you know, if Ernie Reimer would say, I got a word for you, Don, I would pay attention. There's certain... I would pay attention.
Totally.
Not necessarily I would do it, but I would pay attention.
Because you go, there's a mature believer.
And if there's some people, then I would go, let's really be careful here. And
yeah, I think that's really wise that you're testing what was said, but also, you're looking at the character.
And I think it's never that, well, you better do this right away or it won't happen. Like if there's any sense of you got to do this right now or there's some urgency, then I would be careful.
So it's like those Facebook posts, click like and share, and then God will bless you. We're not supposed, is that not prophecy? Yeah. Oh, okay. But I'm glad you said that, because if someone came to me and it's like, I got a word for you, and I know that, okay, you know, you're walking in sin and, you know, you're getting drunk every weekend or whatever it is, you just kind of, you evaluate. It's almost like you're evaluating the message and the messenger. Mm-hmm. You're kind of going...
I think that's what John said in 1 John 4. If you read the first three verses, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have." So he's saying the same thing. There's test the message and the messenger.
Totally.
Because if they're not lining up with Scripture, then they are not speaking on behalf of the Holy Spirit. So... it is important to, you know, especially with the internet and TV, like you hear so many people to be testing them and their message against Scripture.
Yeah.
So John says exactly that right there. So there's no panic to do.
Yeah.
Be discerning, because that's what happened with me with the pastor thing. Like there was a process and God worked in that process, and I never felt like you had to panic or I better do something or I'll miss what God wants to do. God was wanting to do things and he just worked with us in that. So.
Yeah. And then lastly, I would say advice to someone who thinks maybe I have this gift or maybe I have, I feel like God's telling me something that I need to go tell someone. I don't know. Do we have advice for someone like that who says, I think maybe I have the gift of prophecy? Because my advice would be to do the same thing. If something comes into your mind, to even you would look at Scripture and go, okay, so, you know, this thought came into my mind that so-and-so should divorce his wife. Okay, well, I know that that's not from God, right? Because that just clearly contradicts the Bible. Yeah. So I think even if you say, like, I think I have the gift of prophecy, it's you to use discernment yourself and to know too, like, so should I go share that with someone then? Well, probably not, because it's probably not from God that they should leave their spouse. Mm-hmm. And then I think too that to realize that not be offended when someone says, okay, I'm going to take that into consideration. Or I would even say that when you come to someone with a word from the Holy Spirit, it's almost that you're coming with a posture of, hey, do with this what you want, but I think the Holy Spirit is saying this. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone comes and I hear them saying, like, this is what God definitely told you, you have to do this, I'm like, okay, well, that's the wrong posture to come with. It's almost like you're coming to someone and saying, hey, I want you to weigh this, but I think God told me this to say to you, but, you know, for what it's worth or whatever, however you word it, it's just that posture of humility. not like, you better obey what I say because I'm 100% certain. So any other advice for someone who maybe thinks, I think maybe God's gifted me in this way?
Yeah, I think what you said is good. I mean, even when I feel a conviction to talk to somebody, or I think I need to talk to somebody, I'll always try to pray in God, if this is from you, like, can you set this up, or, you know, mm-hmm. give it some time and prayer. And sometimes it goes away and I go, looking at it again, I don't think that was a good idea, so it didn't happen. And other times God brings us together and there's just a confirmation that it was from God. So I think what you said there is good. And even like this elder who approached me, I think he did it a good way too. He says, I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and wants me to ask you. And he just kind of put it out there for us to evaluate and confirm. So I'd love that way too. Like, mm-hmm. it's not the authoritative word. This is what I think the Holy Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone who thinks they have the gift of prophecy, to evaluate that way. And many times you're going to exercise the gift of prophecy and not even know it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's usually how it happens.
I think God
wants to edify somebody or whatever. And he gives you a revelation or words of encouragement or whatever. And it just happens more naturally.
Yeah.
And you look back and go, wow, I spoke,
totally.
And that was totally the Holy Spirit, because I did not come up with that, and it spoke directly to this person. I don't know. One thing I just want to encourage people to, like we talked about the temptation to go after prophecy, and Paul just tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, the gift of prophecy is to edify and encourage. It's not to replace scripture. So Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:14, I'll start there. He's telling Timothy, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it, his word, to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So in the scriptures, we can be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. And the gift of prophecy is just to encourage you to keep doing that and to help and encourage in any way that needs to happen, but to base it on the scriptures.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to end that. Yeah, like Spurgeon says, we don't order our lives around words of prophecy. We order our lives around the word of God. And, you know, just that's why I just kind of scratch my head with some people who are like, they're chasing after those things. I just want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I'm like, yeah, he does. Open the Bible and he'll speak to you.
And if you want to hear it out loud,
yes.
Read it out loud.
But I mean, it's true. It just, you know, I just wish God would speak to me, and their Bibles are dusty. I'm like, well, God wants to speak to you. And does he use those extraordinary ways? Totally. But you can actually hear from God every single day. Just crack open your Bible and read. And I would say, have that posture of, before you start, okay, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And then read the word, and God will speak to you, like, totally. So I think not to again, man, we're writing that book, the middle, not to swing this pendulum, but to have this balanced approach where we say, we don't despise prophecy. We say, God is so good that he gives us this gift to edify us as the church. But we want to center our lives and order our lives around scripture. So hopefully that's been helpful. If not, you can email Don at npmbchurch.com. But honestly, like, we're so appreciating these questions. And if you do have other follow-up questions, we'll probably do a podcast on tongues, I think. I think that would be the next logical thing, because we've kind of mentioned it. But yeah, if you do have questions or comments, you can email us or call the church. And hopefully this has been helpful. Talk to you next week.